This afternoon, I want to take just a few moments to look to God's Word. I know the question that often comes at a funeral is, why death? Why death? We all, the Bible says, are appointed unto death. It's coming, and the matter of time is just between us and that appointment that is coming. It was John Flavel, the English pastor, who said this, "The Scriptures teach us the best way of living, the noblest way of suffering, and the most comfortable way of dying." We never think of a comfortable way to die. And yet the Bible gives to us an understanding of death, why it came, and the cure for death. I want us to look at Romans chapter 5 and just a couple of verses of Scripture, and then Romans chapter 6, and then we will conclude our memorial service together. I want us to think about the cause of death, physical death, spiritual death, eternal death. In Romans chapter 5, I read in verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses." And then down to verse 16, "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." The cause of death, the Bible tells us, is sin. That's the cause. We have the presence of sin in this world. The Bible says that by one man, sin entered into the world. We know the story of the Garden of Eden and how that Adam disobeyed God's command about not eating the fruit. He ate of that fruit, and the Bible says that death passed upon all men. Now, Adam and Eve did not die immediately, but they were spiritually dead at that point. And later on, they died physically. The deadly virus, though, of sin was passed upon all mankind. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. Well, there is a penalty of sin, and that penalty, the Bible says, is death. And death has great power. The Bible says here in verse 16 that we read that death reigns. It's like a king sitting upon the throne. But there is not only the cause of death, there is a cure for death. And I want to leave that with you today. The cure for sin depends upon two things according to Romans chapter 5 and then Romans 6:23. First of all, it depends upon the gift of God. The gift of God is righteousness. Do you realize that the money of heaven is righteousness? Not our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. His righteousness releases us from bankruptcy. The Bible tells us that we are spiritually bankrupt. We cannot come up with any amount of money that will pay for our eternal soul. And so we must have somebody else's money. And that money is God's money. And God's money, the Bible tells us, is His Son's righteousness. His free gift delivers us from bondage. The Bible says that sin keeps us in chains and in bondage, but through Jesus Christ and His free gift, we can be delivered from the bondage of sin. Thirdly, we can be delivered from blame. What is blame? It's simply the guilt that is associated with sin. And through Jesus Christ and His righteousness, we're delivered from our bankruptcy, our bondage, and the blame that's associated with that. Good deeds, dear folks, are not enough to get you to heaven. Religious acts cannot save you. Being baptized will only get you wet, but it will not get you to heaven. The Bible is very clear. You must receive the gift of God and His righteousness in order to go to heaven. Not only that, but we find that the cure of sin depends upon the grace of God. The gift of God is righteousness, but the grace of God, that's what makes the gift possible to us. I want you to think about verse 20 of Romans chapter 5. It says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." But then it ends with this very important sentence. "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." In other words, God's grace is greater than all of our sin. You think about the worst possible sin in the world or the worst possible sinner that there is, and God's grace is greater than that sin. There is nothing you can do that's greater than God's grace. Folks, that's a wonderful thing, to know that God's grace is greater than all our sin. Grace is God's unmerited favor to guilty sinners. Those who have sinned the most oftentimes are the most conscious of what His abundant supply of grace really means. I read this story some years ago and I kept it in a file. It's the story about a man by the name of Sam Duncannon. He was a Scottish man, very simple person with very few talents. But he had a great desire to do something for God, and so God impressed upon him to collect postcards and cut out pictures and collect magazine articles and cut out the pictures, and he would find an appropriate Bible verse or maybe a Bible poem or somebody that had written a scriptural poem, and he would put it together and he would give them away as spiritual gifts, simple little gifts to friends or to family members or those who were grieving. One day, as he was leafing through postcards, he came across a postcard of Niagara Falls. And he cut out the picture and he began to look through his Bible, and he could not find a Bible verse that seemed appropriate for that, and he began to pray. And as he was praying about that, he ended up going to a church service, and there at that particular time was the great Ira Sankey, who was the song leader for D.L. Moody, the evangelist. And this was a song that Ira Sankey sang. I'm going to read the words of that song. Have you on the Lord believed? Still there is more to follow. Of His grace have you received? Still there is more to follow. Oh, the grace the Father shows, still there is more to follow. Freely He His grace bestows, still there is more to follow. More and more, and more, always more to follow. Oh, His matchless, boundless love, still there is more to follow. Underneath the picture that Sam had of Niagara Falls, he wrote this line, more to follow. What a better illustration could there be of the abundant supply of God's grace in time of grief, in time of trouble, in time of tribulation. But more importantly, we need to understand that there is more grace than any sin that you can commit. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Maybe today you're in need of God's grace and salvation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. But, isn't it wonderful to have that little conjunction of contrast in the Bible? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is no respecter of persons. God is not willing, though, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. We are all facing today the fact that we are going to depart this life at some time in the future. The question this afternoon is, are you ready? Why death? It's a result of sin. Is there a cure for sin and death? I'm happy to tell you this afternoon, the answer is yes. And the answer is found in Jesus Christ alone. Do you know Him today? Have you repented of your sin and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible tells us that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Pastor Watt is going to come at this time and he is going to sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, our God of all comfort and grace, we call upon You in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed the resurrection and the life, and who holds the keys to life and death. We ask this afternoon, dear Father, that You would be with those who mourn today, that they might cast all their cares upon You, that they might experience Your care for them. We ask that You uphold them as they believe in the good news of life beyond the grave through Jesus Christ, of a future resurrection unto life eternal, of a future reunion with all those who have died in Christ Jesus. We ask, dear Father, that You would enable us to see beyond this place and time to Your eternal kingdom. We ask, dear Father, that You would prepare us all for that heavenly kingdom where the Bible says every tear will be wiped away, death and sickness will be no more, and we will enjoy forever Your presence. We pray all this, dear Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is with us and remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. In His name, amen. God bless you, and thank you so much for coming this afternoon.